Good evening.
Good evening.
We begin our midweek Advent services with this sound. Arf. Thank you. Advent brings with it a message of repentance. And with the message of repentance comes forgiveness. Arf. And so may God bless us this Advent season. As we focus in on that message of repentance, which is necessary, and along with repentance, the wider emphasis of it, the forgiveness that comes to us through Jesus, and why Christmas has such a powerful emotional meaning for us, and then also beyond. And along then with repentance and forgiveness comes fruits of faith. So God bless us as we celebrate ARF. Let us turn our attention to our opening hymn, hymn 702, found in the Blue Songbook. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. We worship this evening in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins by the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Stay with us, Lord, for it is evening.
And the day is almost over.
Be our light and scatter the darkness.
And hear our evening.
Lord God, we thank you for this day of grace now drawing to a close. Stay with us and warm our hearts with your forgiving love in Christ. May your word keep our faith burning brightly, that we may walk in the light of your presence through the darkness of this world. Come and bless us as we worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let our prayers be acceptable in your sight. Come and help us in time of need, that we may sing your praise in holy joy now and forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Children's Choir. A reading from Holy Scripture, Psalm 1, a clear and powerful reminder for us to stay focused on the Word of our Lord, which gives our life direction and hope. Psalm 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The word of the Lord. Nothing that God does comes about by accident, and including the fact that we are chosen to be his own and to live with him now and always. That is not by accident or by luck of the draw. A powerful reminder of this fact, of God's boundless love, Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord. Fellow redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ, what was that man thinking? And you know what? He was not alone in his thinking, was he? And he still is not alone in his thinking. The man we're talking about is the Pharisee in our sermon text. What was he thinking? Well, he wasn't thinking that Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah who was sent to earth from heaven above to save him and all people from their sins. For a good Pharisee realized that we don't need a Savior. We have a way to save ourselves by way of our own righteousness. And so he was not alone in his thinking then, and he is not alone in his thinking today, is he? Sadly, because of his stubbornness, refusing to heed the message of Jesus Christ who was standing right in front of him, he missed the message that Jesus had to offer to him and to all people. That message being, your sins are forgiven. And that fact that your sins and my sins, the sins of all people, are forgiven, that truly is a gift that comes from God, including the ability to believe that. And the fact that our sins are forgiven and that we, by the Holy Spirit, are given the ability to believe that truth about us, well, then that moves us to respond by the Holy Spirit's working in fruits of faith, in fruits of repentance. Keep that in mind as we hear the words from Luke chapter 7. You are forgiven. A gift from God, a gift which leads to fruits of faith. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. Now, did the Pharisee invite Jesus to his house so that he could learn more about the plan of salvation that Jesus came to usher in? Sadly, no. He, along with his compadres, we're still trying to trap Jesus because Jesus was, in a way, running in their way, leading people away from their message of work righteousness and pounding the people with guilt. Do this or else. For Jesus' way of take your guilt to the promised Messiah and live your life not because you have to, but because you want to for the God who keeps his promises, including the sending of his one and only Son to be the Savior, whose birth we are looking forward to celebrating again. And because he has come that first time, we now are also looking forward to his second coming. But in the meantime, we have to deal with the likes of this Pharisee, don't we? Who are not so much looking to learn more about Jesus for their salvation, but rather looking to learn from the Bible ways to entrap Jesus and his followers, looking for excuses not to follow. And that becomes evident that the Pharisee was not really truly concerned about Jesus' well-being, as we continue to hear. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. Now, we're not told who this woman was. That's really immaterial. But she knew that she was living a life of sin, and she was moved to repentance and moved to show that she was repentant. And part of that fruit of faith was bringing this expensive alabaster jar filled with perfume for a purpose, something that the host missed out on because of his self-centeredness. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. The way Jesus was sitting at that time, people were reclined at the table, feet to the side or behind them. She then would be able to have access to his feet. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Well, what did he think he was? A saint? Hardly. The audacity to point the finger at her, not realizing that there are multiple fingers pointing back at himself. You and I, sadly though, can relate too often to this Pharisee, thinking more of ourselves than we ought, Sometimes getting too busy patting ourselves on the back that God has to be proud of me, happy with me. Look at that good work I just did. Surely that has to earn me something when it comes to God. But we are also like that woman, clinging to sin that we have done and maybe still doing. And only by the grace of God do we come to realize that that lifestyle is contrary to God's word. It's not a show of love to God who shows love to us. And it's not only hurting God, it's also hurting ourselves now and eternally, and it's hurting those around us. And so we give thanks to the Lord that He has pointed out our sins are forgiven, so that we don't continue to be like that Pharisee and shrug off that news of forgiveness and think more of ourselves than we should, but rather be like that woman who recognized her sin by the work of the Holy Spirit, was repentant of it, and showed her thankfulness by this action. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet," which would be the customary thing to do, "but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss," again, another customary thing to do for a guest, "but this woman, the one you call a sinner, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head," which would have been another nice thing to do, "but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith, the object of it, has saved you. The result? Go in peace." And what do we learn from the Apostle Paul in Philippians, for example? We have been given a peace that transcends all understanding. It's mind-boggling that we have such a peace through the fact that our sins are forgiven. What a gift this is. A gift as a result of a promise kept. As God keeps His promises, He said He would send His Son into the world, who would come to save the world, to redeem the world. And that is exactly what He did. When the time was right, He sent His Son, who would win our forgiveness. So our forgiveness is not by anything that we do or can do, because as Romans points out, we fall short of the glory of the expectations of God. His expectations of you and me and the world do not change. Perfection. But He also knows that you and I, sinners that we are, cannot attain to that glory. And so He sent His Son, who lived that perfection for us, and we are credited with that. So now when God looks at you and me through the eyes of Christ, He no longer sees the sinner, but the saints, not because of who we are, of ourselves, but who we are in and through Christ. Your sins are forgiven. And that fact is assured to us through faith. It is by grace we are saved, not by our works, We cannot boast of ourselves, but we definitely can and are to boast about Christ, who has won this forgiveness for us. And so the importance of, like what we heard in Psalm 1, staying connected to the means of grace, the means that the Holy Spirit uses to work that message of forgiveness in our hearts and to keep it there, that we are forgiven, because day in and day out, we sin and we struggle with those sins and what to do with them. And so day in and day out, God reminds us of his fact that the mercies are new every day. I've done something with those sins today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. So every day, take those sins to the cross and leave them there. They're forgiven. The importance then of the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, to assure us of that beautiful fact. And through the means of grace then, we are motivated and encouraged to show our thankfulness. The fruits of faith for the fact that our sins are forgiven through the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. As we said, that comes with an eternal peace. And that's what that woman in our text was feeling. She was at peace, knowing her sins were forgiven, despite what society was saying about her. She knew better. By the work of the Holy Spirit, her sins were forgiven. There came that quieted conscience. And so the importance of meditating on the word of our Lord day and night to remind ourselves of what God has done and continues to do for us, so that we can continually have and live with that inner peace despite the turmoil around us, despite what other people might think or say about us. Dear friends, that is to be a daily reflection. A daily pondering of the fact that our sins are forgiven. And how so? Because God kept his promise and sent his Son into this world for us. And then there's also an external peace that comes with this. An external show of love. As a result of that peace, knowing our sins are forgiven, she definitely showed it in pouring this perfume on Jesus, anointing him, showing love for him. The Pharisee, on the other hand, where was his love for Jesus? So again, which one are we more like? Are we more like the Pharisee who talk a good game, but the actions are short? Or we have the actions, but really empty of the truth behind it? Or are we like that woman who truly recognizes our sinfulness and the fact that our sins have been forgiven, that we have peace with God through Jesus, the promised one? And can't wait day in and day out to show our love for God by showing a love to others? Dear friends, your sins are forgiven. Is that some trite fact? Not at all. It's an amazing fact. And the season of Advent reminds us again of how that has come about. And it reminds us then to daily, as we were encouraged by Martin Luther, to daily think about our sins, confess our sins, be contrite over our sins, and also then trust that our sins have been forgiven. And then part of that repentance that we're reminded of, not only in Advent, but all throughout the year, is the fruits of faith. The desire to not continue in that life of sin, but to turn away from it, to show our love for God, to show our love for one another, people that we've hurt. As much as it depends on us to be at peace with others, maybe they won't accept our change of life. Pray they do. But you still can have that inner peace, which then drives the external evidence that you are at peace with God. And so this Advent season, continue to rejoice in the fact that your sins are forgiven, that Jesus is your Savior, that God keeps His promises, that He leads us to repentance on a daily basis, and that He also then leads us to the forgiveness that He has won for us. Dear friends, your sins are forgiven. And this is a gift to you. A gift that we can say thanks to God through our words and through our actions. Blessings on your Advent worship. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the promised one. Amen. In the closing hours of this day, hear us as we pray, O Lord. For the well-being of people everywhere, for the growth of your church in all the world, and for the strengthening of all who serve and worship here, we pray, O Lord. For one another, young and old, for your blessings that come with every stage of life, and for joy in doing your will, we pray, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our public servants who work day and night to bring protection, justice, learning, and health to this and every place, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear
our prayer. For favorable weather and bountiful harvests, for clothing and food, for health of body, mind, and spirit, and for deliverance from all sin and every form of evil, we pray to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the faithful who have gone before us, who have shared with us your good news, whose souls are now at rest in your heavenly kingdom, we give you thanks, O Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In thanksgiving for your many and varied gifts to us, we now commend ourselves to your care. Be our shield and strength, O Lord.
Amen.
And hear us as we also pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. We pray. Lord God, all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works come from you. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments. Defend us also from the fear of our enemies, that we may live in peace and quietness. Through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Good to see you tonight. Safe travels on your way home and during the rest of the week. Thank you to our musicians tonight, beautifully edifying our worship service. Thank you to the adult choir for sponsoring the supper tonight. Very tasty. Thank you. And also during the prayer, I was thankful the Lord did not allow me to keep on choking. Bad timing on something there. And come back next week for another great meal and fellowship and worship service. Also, thank you to our worship arts committee for beautifying the worship. Beautiful job, and they continue to surprise us all the time, so it's good stuff. Can't wait to see what's coming next. All to the glory of God. So take the time to greet each other before you leave tonight, and let the Lord's voice be heard. Thank you.